Rather than read and study the myriad texts, it is far better to fully receive and comprehend a single phrase, a word. Why? Reading and studying seem so important. What could it mean to receive a single phrase? To perfectly receive a single word, a phrase, is to perfectly become that one phrase, the truth self becoming the truth self. A single phrase, the one teaching of the Buddha. But this receive and comprehend does not refer to the usual intellectual way that we understand. Together with all beings, one with all being. Shakyamuni Buddha spoke these words upon his great enlightenment. They arise from the awakened mind, the eye of life open. As long as Shakyamuni was still unenlightened, his words were, just like yours, the words of discriminating mind. Together with all beings, sentient and not sentient. That is all being. Nothing is excluded. Nothing can be added. All things are perfectly embraced. This one truth includes all being, no matter how it appears, no matter what form is taken. When you are able to open your eyes to this all beings, sentient and not, then it will be perfectly evident to you that all being is one from the beginning already. All beings together attain the Buddha way. All being is Buddha nature. Oneness cannot be understood with the intellect. A single weed, a tree, one leaf, is Buddha. Together with the grasses, the trees, the great earth, I attained the Buddha way. Don't think of this great earth is only the ground beneath your feet, of course. This great limitless cosmos is Buddha. So, I ask you, what is the eye of life? To what did Shakyamuni Buddha awaken? This eye. What is this eye? What about you? Is your life's eye open? If you answer yes, then the great matter is settled, just as it is settled for the Buddha. What you see is just what Buddha sees. Your problem is finished. Or do you, quite to the contrary, have a problem, a question? Question that is still unanswered, a problem yet unsolved. If it is not clear, you are not clearly certain, then you are still lost in spiritual darkness. Your eye is still not open. While looking, while seeing, you do not see. You cannot see. If the eye is open, all is clear, clearly revealed. There is someone here now who has come back after an absence of 6 months or so. When he left here, he must have gone with the feeling that there would be something, someone just perfect to help to guide him, or that there would be a place where he could practice with more energy and zeal. He left here, in other words, seeking to read and study the myriad texts. Not literally to study, of course. He must have traveled here and there, but his problem was not so easily solved. From various angles, things seemed unclear. Questions and doubts arose which he tried to solve using his own judgment. He poured great energy into attacking the problem through analysis and judgment and self-generated ideas. But this way of approaching the problem, this way of handling your practice, only leads to uncertainty and confusion. If you seek to grasp a mistaken view, you will not be at peace. He got off and began to apply his own small ideas to his practice. This feels right. This practice feels strong, so this must be the best way for me to practice. This must be the right way. A lot of effort went into this struggle, the struggle to figure out how to practice. This must be it. This way I am practicing correctly. This person is very wholehearted and very sincere in his practice. So certainly, because of that, he will suffer even more. Very wholehearted, but unfortunately, he wasn't able to practice purely. I asked him, when he explained the practice he had been doing, "Who is your teacher?" Roshi Sama. I had to disagree. "You are not doing the practice I gave you. Not practicing as I showed you. Don't you have a different teacher now?" He insisted that he does not have a different teacher and was surprised when I told him that he most certainly does. Your teacher, your master, is ego self. You are relying on the ego idea. So your master is leading you to struggle. Of course, your master has not solved the great matter, so such a master cannot guide you into solving the problem, into peace, peace of mind. So confusion leads to more confusion. Misguided thoughts and actions stockpile. He must have had a hard time of it. This story does not apply to someone else. Look at your own practice. You're all very clever, head-wise, very adept in your discriminations. At base, you discriminate between me, I, me, mine, and everything else. This is clinging to the ego idea. You're relying on this false foundation. And so the more avidly you juggle with your intellect, the more you bolster your ignorance, the darker it is. Sometimes it feels that you're getting somewhere, getting it right. You feel that you're understanding. Something appears which makes you feel that you're getting something. Or you have some experience which leads you to believe that this is it, or certainly the right direction. This is the way. It's very easy to become arrogant and try to grasp that idea, that experience, that something. It's very easy to mistakenly give yourself some credit. And you are most assuredly grasping something, holding on to something. Grasping something, you've again created baggage. Things change. Things are changing constantly. You feel strange somehow about being the way you are, and you inevitably suffer. You knock yourself out. You let yourself become overcome by matters which you've created for yourself. But you're not aware of your own habits, You aren't aware of what you're doing, the self-inflicted pain. And so you go on and on suffering. Hey, try and see for yourself another way. Just do the practice that I have given you. Just do it. You know what to do. Don't question how it works or what will happen, things like that. There's no reason for me to go into explanations or to tell you more, especially if you aren't even going on with it. Just do the practice I've given you to do. Just do it. There is nothing unreasonable about what I have asked you to do. Just doing it. You are perfectly capable of just doing it. Anything else I could say at this point, no matter how you press me, will only lead to more uncertainty and confusion. Just lay down your own ideas about it and do it. I give you a practice. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to analyze it. You don't have to hold on to your expectations about it. I say to you, please practice this. You answer from your heart, yes, with no conditions. Your being able to do your practice does not depend upon the ideas you have about that practice. Just do it. Yes, I will. We human beings are very clever, and we're so good at making conditions. Conditions and provisions and qualifications and stipulations, frameworks. This is how we seek to understand. But our mental gyrations do not lead to true understanding. True understanding, truth, is beyond conditions. Truth is primordial. Truth is before provisions, before discrimination. What a beautiful day. The wind is a little strong today. Ah, rain. It's starting to snow, it's freezing. What is cold? What is fine weather? Change is constant. There are no 2 days alike, no 2 moments alike, although they seem to be. Each thing that arises is perfectly unique. And the foundation of all being, the foundation of all that arises, does not change an inch. The foundation, the fundamental, is complete virtue, perfect merit. Yes, the problem is fundamentally solved. To receive the teaching, you must drop body and mind, everything. It means let go of your beliefs and your accumulated knowledge. It means letting go of that which you believe yourself to be. Become empty. Be empty. Once you become truly empty, the truth will, without fail, reach out to you. This, here. You are inherently at the mercy of truth, so to speak. So there's really only for you to give yourself to truth, to entrust yourself to truth. Of course, it's very easy to believe that one is yielding to things as they are. It's very easy to say, I will take it as it comes. But quite often you say you are letting truth take its course when all you're doing is paying lip service to that philosophy. Words alone will not cut it, and thinking that you will let truth take its course, take it as it comes, is also not enough. A philosophy, a feeling, is not enough. Dogen says, from the beginning, drop body and mind. Let go of everything. He spoke from experience when he said to drop everything. Dropping everything, there is no room, no place to attach, no place to look away, no restlessness. Letting go, one is settled in the great Dharma. Listen. Listen to our chant on opening the Dharma, the Kaikyoge. The Dharma, incomparably profound and minutely subtle. The Dharma is incomparable, supreme, perfect, perfect, perfect. Supreme, the supreme vehicle, supremely profound, bottomless deep. The bottom is broken. But everyone is falsely perceiving, everyone is perceiving this false bottom, ego bottom, me, me, me. We treat this ego bottom with the utmost care. It is the most important thing to you. This bottom that you believe to be your foundation. Yet, that bottom is a false bottom. It is broken through already. Incomparably subtle. There is no place for reasoning. No matter how astute one's powers of discrimination and analysis, it will not reach supremely subtle Dharma, incomparably subtle Dharma, is inconceivable, unconceivable. The Dharma, we could just as well call it truth, or original self, or everything, all things. The Chinese character for Dharma is begun by writing the character for water. Water flows ceaselessly. So the right-hand element of the character for Dharma is water, and the left-hand element of the character is to pass. Never ceases. Never stops, never abides. Instant by instant, each instant is perfectly new. You can't grasp. You may ask then, if you cannot grasp, if there is inherently no possibility of grasping, how is it that we can talk of seeing into it or attaining truth? These words imply getting something, don't they? It is simple. Truth is simple. There is becoming the genuine. The self, one with the self. You might ask, is there any time, any possible instance which is not original mind? No. Original mind is everlastingly, continuously, always and forever revealed. But you said that impermanence, change is constant, birth and death, birth, death. No thing is abiding. There is no same, no two instants which can be the same. So what can there be for you to call genuine self? This question comes up because of your propensity to immediately grasp whatever arises. But please, all is well. There is nothing to worry about. You will see. No matter how the change, the genuine self remains the same. And so, it is to be relied upon. And so all is well. This is never shaken by changing circumstance. Who is not shaken? What is changeless within change? You, yourself. All things, all beings. And so, you might inquire, the problem is fundamentally solved, isn't it? Yes. Every problem is perfectly finished. But, something lingers for you, doesn't it? Some question is not really settled. Something is somehow lacking, isn't it? To make the analogy with eating a tasty banquet, the banquet is laid out before you. Please eat. How does it taste? Does it taste good? No, it isn't really tasting so good. Well, that is because you are not eating it. Until you taste it for yourself, you cannot know its delicious flavor. You are looking away from the banquet. Where does the habit of looking away come from anyway? You yourself have taken this habit, this karmic tendency, upon yourself. Listen. The grasses, the trees, the great earth, all being, all existence is Buddha. All being is perfect, complete harmony. The Buddha awakened to this truth to guide us. No thing is out of place. Everything is becoming what it is at all times, perfectly, purely, wholly, becoming that which is. No thing is lost, no thing is misplaced, no thing is in disharmony. But from the standpoint of awakening, from the standpoint of awakened mind, beings, you are like a baby, as yet unborn, unself-aware, not self-aware. I want to awaken to this reality incomparably profound and subtle. I know that I cannot be satisfied until I have awakened. We are at this point. We have been blessed with this human body. Awakening, self-knowledge is near. You are still a minute before awakening, and so you hold a problem. Your question is not yet answered, but you are just one step before solving the great matter. The treasure is at hand. The treasure is near. Too near, too near. You have the habit of looking away. You hold something, and that something holds you back. Something you don't need. It is the job of the person who has awakened to guide you, to wash, to rinse away, to grab that something which you hold from you. You must come clean, dig out this habit of looking off, holding nothing, just do this one doing. Just do this one doing. Doing your practice, being one with this, the habit of looking off naturally washes away. The more clever one is, the more one tends to rely on their wits, the more habits they have, the more you will tend to cling tenaciously, to refuse to let go. Hold nothing. This does not mean being vague or spaced out or dull. That kind of blankness is just another form of grasping, and a very stubborn one at that. Knowing is delusion. Not knowing is blankness. These words are so true, so true. And so, you must be sincerely open, obedient. That means not holding on to your own ideas. And obediently, openly, practice just as you are shown. It's not easy, is it? Because you try to do it your way, to put it into your own small terms. You try to put this great practice, this one eternal doing, into your own small framework. When I do see that you're finally open and obedient, I look into your eyes, you immediately drop your vigilance, become careless, grow lazy and sincere. Or you may be giving yourself leave because you've decided for yourself that you've got it right. Or you decide that you deserve some credit based on some utterly self-generated criteria. Just a touch. Grasp just slightly. And, well, as it is said, make even the slightest distinction, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. Make even the slightest distinction, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. So what can you do? Only this one doing wholly with no cracks. Make even the slightest distinction, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. Check your posture. Straighten your backbone. The lower back is forward, some energy. Many of you tend to droop and sag the lower back, weakening yourself. Straighten your lower back from the beginning and do not allow it to sag. The chin is in, not sticking out. If the chin is sticking out, it's a clear indication that the mind is not taut, that you're looking away from original mind. Correct posture. If the posture is correct, your center naturally falls to your tanden, and your tanden will be full. Power will build in the tanden, and there will be clarity. Place the mind's eye, the life's eye, in the tanden. You are allowing original mind to be. You are able in this way to be loyal to original self. On the other hand, if you allow your wits to be in control, discriminating mind, you will be carrying yourself away from the genuine. So don't seek to do it my way. Practice just as you have been shown, this one doing, just only doing. There is nothing else. Do not try to jump ahead. You cannot rush it. You must do each doing fully. There is just this one step, chitande. Chitande, pure, unmixed, just this one doing. You do not need to judge your practice or to analyze it. This is the way, that must be the way, good, no good, I'm cooking now. This kind of discriminating thinking only gets you into a muddle, it only weakens you. Clearly, clearly, be this one doing, please. When you least expect it, anything can happen. You have no way of knowing what will happen when. The other night a call came from someone here practicing. The priest who acted as his father, his Bodhi father, is approaching death. And he asked permission to go and pay his final respects, although Rohatsu was approaching. I gave him permission to go, but to go mindfully. He left early this morning to make the final farewell of parent and child. This was entirely unexpected, and the unexpected can strike boldly at any time to any one of you. You are here, now able to practice, free of interruptions. You're here able to give all of your energy to this practice. Please, do it while you can. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way.